Today I'm going to talk about the Rif, Rav Yitzhak Alfasi, one of the great halachic leaders from the golden age of Spain. Just to put in perspective, if you ask who was the Gadol Hador in Ashkenaz in the 11th century, the answer is Rashi of Shlomo Yitzchaki. If you were to ask who was the Gadol Hador in Sephardic Jewry in the 11th century, the answer is the Rif, Rav Yitzhak Alfasi. He was born in Algeria in 1013. He then moved to Fez in Morocco, hence the name Alfasi, Rav Isaac from Fez. He became the next Gadol in North Africa after Rabbeinu Nissim and Rabbeinu Hananel. At the age of 75, he was slandered to the government and he was forced to flee to Spain. He spent a short time in Cordova, then he moved to Lucena, and he died there in Lucena. So again, he lived for 90 years from 1013 to 1103. And for most of his life, he was in North Africa. The major Jewish communities in Sfarad during the quote unquote the Golden Age of Spain were in North Africa, in Egypt, and in Spain. So he's the Gadol Hador in North Africa. He wrote much responsa, but he also wrote this Sefer HaLachos. And the question is, why was this Sefer so important? And the answer is that as the Gaonic era came to an end, new communities developed with different laws and different customs. Now, during the Gaonic era, from the 7th to the 11th centuries, there were different customs in Eretz Yisrael versus customs in Bavel, and there were different customs between different yeshivos, Sura versus Pumbedisa. But soon, when you have communities in Spain versus in communities in Ashkenaz versus communities in Bavel, soon the differences became more prominent. And the Sefer HaLachos, written by the Rif, was written in to account for these changes and to present a code of Jewish law. And what is unique, I guess, when we think about codes of Jewish law, we think of the Mishneh Torah of the Rambam, we think of the Shulchan Aruch by Yosef Cairo. The Rif was also a code of Jewish law, but we don't study it that much as a code because it's based on the order of the Gemara. It generally follows that of the Gemara. See, if you want to learn a topic, let's say Hilchos Kriyat Shema, so you can open up the Rambam to Hilchos Kriyat Shema, or you can open up a certain siman in Shulchan Aruch, or a few siman that discuss Hilchos Kriyat Shema. Since the code of the Rif follows the order of the Gemara, so then you have to look all the different places throughout the Gemara that discusses Kriyat Shema. Because as we know, the Gemara is a little bit stream of consciousness. The Gemara is obviously based on the Mishnah. The Mishnah was very organized by topic. Hilchos, Meseches Brachos, and Meseches Demai, and Meseches Bikurim, and Meseches Shabbos, and Meseches Bava Metzia, Bava Kam, Bava Basra. But once you get to the Gemara, so then there's a little more stream of consciousness, and the order is not as structured. So once the Rif is writing his code based on the order of the Gemara, so it's you're not gonna find, let's say, all the information of one topic in one specific area. Additionally, since the Rif only deals with the halachic applicable discourses and their practical application, and so therefore the Rif only took excerpts from the Talmud, or only those passages that are pertinent to practical halacha. So for example, the give and take of any particular discussion in the Gemara is not included. You know, if you want a summary of the Gemara without the give and take, you just want the bottom line, what do we paskin halacha lemaisa, so you look at the Rif, you don't have to go through the entire Gemara. The Gemara will give you what's the Havamina, what's the Maskana, what I would have thought, what's the conclusion, what does this Amora say, what does the Amora respond, back and forth. But the Rif will generally just quote the bottom line, halacha. Additionally, since the Rif is only quoting practical halacha, and it omits the lengthy discussions of the Amoraim, but since it's speaking about practical halacha, you'll only find the Rif on three of the six Siddurim of Shas: Moed, Nashim, and Nezikim. Moed are all the laws relating to the holidays. Nashim is family law. Nezikim is civil law. Plus, It will have Maseches Brachos. It will have a commentary on Maseches Brachos in the first Seder, Seder Zeraim. Seder Zeraim is mostly halachos relating to Eretz Yisrael, Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, and mitzvos that are Teluyos Ba'aretz, mitzvos relating to Eretz Yisrael, which are not relevant for after when Jews aren't living in Eretz Yisrael. So the only Masechta that's relevant in Maseches Brachos. So that the Rif has a commentary on. Also, in Kachim and Taharos, so it's about Beis Hamikdash Halachos. It's about Tuma and Tahara, which are not relevant in the 11th century for Jews living in Spain or North Africa or Egypt, except for Maseches Chulin, which deals with Kashrus. So you have Moe, Nashim, and Ezekim, plus Brachos and Chulin. Additionally, there are laws that are scattered throughout Kachim and Taharos that still have practical relevance, like Sefer Torah and Mezuzos. So they were all codified in a work called Halachos Ketanos. Now, the jury was still out, potentially, in terms of, are we going to study Talmud Bavli or Talmud Yerushalmi? Right? There was a Babylonian Talmud written in Bavli, Talmud Yerushalmi, Jerusalem Talmud that was written in Eretz Yisrael. And obviously, once Rashi wrote his commentary on Talmud Bavli, not Talmud Yerushalmi, making Talmud Bavli an easier read, that obviously solidified the supremacy of Talmud Bavli over Talmud Yerushalmi. Additionally, the Rif also contributed to this, because the Rif's work was published prior to Rashi, and again, even though he quotes Talmud Yerushalmi, he generally follows Talmud Bavli. And since his work was written before Rashi and other commentaries, it also resulted in a profound change in the study practices of Talmud study, in that it opened the world of the Gemara to the public at large. Your average person is not going to be able to read the back and forth, the give and take. Again, once Rashi was written with his commentary, it made the Gemara accessible to the masses. But before Rashi, the Rif also assisted in this regard in making it accessible to the masses, not the same way that Rashi did, but he took out the give and take and just went through the bottom line halacha. And soon, his commentary, the Rif, or his code, became known as the Talmud Katan. Now, the Rambam spoke very glowingly about his code. In the Hakdamas HaRambam LaMishnah, in the Rambam's introduction to the Mishnah, he writes the following. V'kasher mesu kol hachachamim aleihem ha-shalom she'achroni mehem ravina v'ravashi kvar nishlam ha-talmud, that once all the sages died, who the last among them were Ravina and Ravashi, and with them the Talmud, the Gemara, was complete. Harei kol mi she'amad achrav ein mataraso ela havanas divreim shechibru bilvad, that whoever came after Ravina and Ravashi, the goal was only to try to understand the opinions that were written in the Gemara. Alav ein lahosif u'mimenu ein ligroa. Nobody added to the Gemara. Nobody took away from the Gemara. The Gemara was a closed book, and after the Gemara was just commentary. U'lefichach chibru ha-ga'odim perushim rubim, and therefore the Ga'odim wrote many different commentaries on the Gemara. But according to our understanding, no, as far as we know, no one individual was able to complete a commentary on the whole Talmud. For some people, they didn't live long enough to write an entire commentary on the entire Talmud. And sometimes the burden just of regular life stopped people from writing a commentary on the entire Talmud. Chiburim bepiske halachos, and there are many people wrote works on psak halacha, behem ba'aravis, behem be'ivri, some in Arabic, some in Hebrew. Could go to halachos gadolos, the halachos gadolos, halachos ketuos, and halachos ketanos, and halachos psukos, halachos of achab mishabcha, vizula sam, and different codes. But then he writes, v'halachos she'osa rav hagadol rabbeinu Yitzchak zatzal, he speak of machom kulam. And the halachos that the great rabbi, Rabbi Yitzchak zatzal, wrote was sufficient in place of all of them. Lefi shehem kolim to alios hapsaki v'mishpati b'tzrachim bizmanenu zeklomer zman agalus, because they include all of the psak halacha, all the whatever we needed, and all the laws that were necessary in our times during the lengthy exile. Chvar beirur bahem kol hashkios shenaflu Bepiske Kodmav, and he already was able to sift through and eliminate all the mistakes that came in earlier Piske Halacha. V'lo hukshu lanu bahem ela halachos muatos maatos lo yagil la'aser b'shum panim. And after, if you go through the Rif, you'll only find a couple mistakes, not more than 10 in his entire commentary. The Rambam speaks glowingly about the Rif's code. And why is the Rif so important? Perhaps more important than we think. Because the Beis Yosef of Yosef Cairo, in his Hagdama, he writes the following: Va'ala bedati she'achar kol advarim efsok halacha v'achriya ben asvaros. He says that it seems to me that according to my opinion, after all going through everything, efsok halacha v'achriya ben asvaros kizal tachlis lios lanu torachas mishpat echad. That now I've gone through everything. I've gone through a commentary and everything and all of Jewish law. Now I need to decide what's the halacha. We need to have one halacha. This is what Yosef Cairo writes in the 16th century. We need to consolidate. If you think about Jewish halacha, there's discussion and then consolidation. Discussion and consolidation. Yosef Cairo wants to consolidate and write a book that's going to codify what the halacha is. V'ra'isi shim banu lomar shenachriya din ben apsakim, ben aposkim etanos v'ayos tamudios. And if we want to now say that we should now decide amongst the poskim and the proofs, the Talmudic proofs that each of the Rishonim have in terms of what's the right halacha. Hinei atosus, chedushei Ramban, v'rashba, v'ran, zal, maleim tanos v'rayos l'chol achas me'adeos. You have Tosfos and the Ramban and the Rashba and the Ran. They have so many claims and so many proofs. Each one has a compelling argument, a compelling claim. Umiza sheyerav libo lagesh lohosif tanos arayos. And who can add? Who's going to be able to add other claims and proofs? Vezeo asher yamalu libo lahachnis rosha beine harim harekel achria beineo pitanos arayos listor mashe beruhem o lachriba ma shelo yichriuhem. And who's going to place their head amongst these giants to decide based on their claims to say, you know what, I disagree with what you wrote, the Ramban, or to decide, you know what, Ramban, I like the Rashba's pshat better than your Tosfos. I hear your argument, but I think the Ramban is more appropriate. Who are we to decide, like whom to pasket? Ki bavanosina rabim katsu matza sichleinu lahavin divreim koshkin lischakim aleim. You know, with the abundance of our sins, who are we to have the wisdom to fully understand what the Ramban was saying or Rashba or Tosus was saying? So much more so to say that we're smarter than them. And even if perhaps we'd be able to go this path, it's such a lengthy path, it's so difficult, how can we do that? So what am I supposed to do, as of Yosef Cairo? How am I supposed to engage in psak halacha if I don't know who should I paskin like? Which argument makes most sense? So lachein hiskamti bedati, and therefore I've decided ki liyo shloshes amudei haora, that there are three pillars of psak halacha asher habayis beis Yisrael nishan aleihem b'horo oseihem, that klai Yisrael, that they lean on three giants of halacha, halohema harif v'aramam v'arashdal. There are three giants of halacha that Klai so paskin like: the Rif, the Rabam, and the Rush. Amarti alibi, so I said to myself, shebimalkom sheshnai mehem maskimin ledas achas, if two of them agree to one opinion, nivsuk halacha chamosa, we're going to follow their opinion. Imlo v'mikzat mekomo shkol chachme yisrael rubam chokim aladas ahu. Unless there are certain communities that, let's say, most of Klai Yisrael disagree on this opinion. So let's say two out of three paskin A, but let's say in this particular area, Klai Yisrael don't follow them. So then we'll follow the other opinion. And let's say you have the Rif, the Rabbah, and the Rush. So let's say the Rif doesn't paskin on this particular issue. So it's a Rabbam versus Rav, just one versus one here. In that case, so hine Ramban v'Rashba v'Rana Mordechai Smag l'fadenu. So then look at some of the other Rishonim, the major league Rishonim. And elamakom shiya shama haruach ruach elokim kadisha lechas nelech ki el hadas shayat ruban kenim sokalacha. So we're going to follow whichever seems more compelling amongst these other Rishonim. So in other words, in the Rav Yosef Karo deciding who to paskin halacha for Sephardic Jewry in the 16th century, he says, I'm going to pick two out of three. If the Rabbam, the Rif, and the Rosh offer an opinion, I'm going to pick two out of three. Now, as we know, the Rambam usually sides with the Rif. So, and obviously the Rif kind of was Sephardi, so very often he went with, you know, the Sephardi versus the Ashkenazi approach. You know, you have the Rif and the Rambam, two out of three are Sephardi. But what emerges from this is the Rambam very often paskin like the Rif. So what emerges is that the Rif, when the Rif paskin halacha, that essentially became the psach for Rav Yosef Cairo. Because if the Rambam followed the Rif, the Rav Yosef Cairo would follow two out of three. And therefore, the decisions of the Rif form the basis of the Rambam's code. And so we see how important the view of the Rif was. So even though perhaps in practice people study the Rambam and people study the Shulchan Aruch, it's important to understand that Rav Yitzchak Alfasi, the Gadol Hador in Sfarad in the 11th century, was a major figure, not just in the 11th century, but he was a major figure in setting forth our Mesorah and our Halacha to this very day.